Paul's two letters to Timothy and the one to Titus are known as the pastoral epistles because they contain directions for ordering the life of the church and the ministry of its leaders. Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy from Macedonia in about AD 64. He had left Timothy in Ephesus to oversee the churches there and to deal with the problem of teachers who were troubling believers with false doctrine. He had warned the Ephesian elders on his last visit to the region that savage wolves would come into their church, not sparing the flock. 6 or 7 years later, when he wrote to Timothy, this prophecy had come true. Paul knew that his young disciple, who was a reserved, rather timid man with delicate health, would need all the support and wise advice that the great apostle could give him. At the beginning of his letter, he urges Timothy to put an end to arguments about genealogies and legends, and to see to it that only the gospel truth was taught. Some men want to be teachers of the law, he writes, but they do not know what they are talking about. Paul never forgot what his life before his conversion had been. As a Pharisee, he loved God's law, but he had tried to destroy the Christian faith, and was amazed that God had been merciful to him, an arrogant persecutor, and had made him an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ. So he says to Timothy, "This is a faithful saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honour and glory for ever and ever." Paul then turns to the question of church worship and discipline. First of all, there must be prayer and thanksgiving. It is the church's duty to intercede for all men, that they may come to know the truth, and to pray for those in authority, so that peace and order may be maintained. The grace of God's call is offered to everyone, because there is only one true God and Saviour. For, says Paul, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He reminds Timothy that God had appointed him to be an apostle and teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. So he goes on to give instructions concerning the behavior and responsibilities of the different members of the local churches. He mentions the place and role of godly women in Christian society, how they should live well-ordered lives and dress in a befitting way. He enumerates the qualities required of leaders in the church and the high standards that must be maintained in their family life. Pastors, elders, and deacons must know how to manage their own homes well, or they will not be able to take care of the church. Their behavior and reputation must be above reproach, because the church of God is the pillar and foundation of the truth. In a few words, Paul outlines the great mystery of this revealed truth. He, Christ, appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and was taken up to glory. If Paul found it necessary to describe what church life and Christian service ought to be, it was because he had found flagrant abuses in Ephesus and elsewhere. Some so-called spiritual leaders, blinded by their own pride and obsessed with futile controversies, were teaching false doctrine and all sorts of myths. Others were promoting man-made rules, forbidding people to marry and ordering them to abstain from certain foods. But, says Paul, everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Paul declares that the Holy Spirit states quite clearly that in later times some will depart from the faith and follow deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Other people will use the things of God as a means to financial gain. Indeed, he writes, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil that plunge men into ruin and destruction. The believer must avoid these things and strive for what is good. He must fight the good fight of faith as he waits for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time." God is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light. He is the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Next episode, Paul's Epistle to Titus.